Hey, welcome to a brand new episode of Straight Up Show Podcast. I am your host, Calvin. Hey, y'all, this has been a great season so far. Been having a lot of, mostly Monday, Music Mondays, but we've been having a lot of gambling issues. Like I said, our theme this since I'm in Vegas, our theme is taking chances and gambling on life. And what better way to do that? I open up this podcast season talking about my personal life, about my previous relationship, situationship, friendship, whatever you want to call it. But it was actually one of our most downloaded episodes this season so far, because it was me being personal. And like, you know, before that, it was a year before we started recording the podcast because we took a break. Today's episode is no different. Today we have a response to that season one or the season opener, episode one of this podcast episode. And like, and this is a quick disclaimer. By no means am I perfect, right? We all go through our issues. We all have our problems. And like, pretty sure that if you would have heard that episode, it's called The Mermaid Effect, you would say, he probably needs some help. He needs to talk to a counselor. And I'm one of those people who kind of, I grew up in the projects, you know, and I grew up very poor, you know, and I grew up in an environment to where it's like, you know, you have to be tough all the time. Like, even right now in relationships, like, girls don't want a guy who's sensitive. And like, I get that all the time. Like, you're too sensitive. You're too this and that. And I'm like, well, hell, if you've been through the same things I've been through, you kind of want to be sensitive, you know, because you can't be hard so much. And so today we have a special guest. She's also from my hometown of Shreveport, Louisiana, SBC, as we call it. She's also, yeah, SBC. And she's also a fellow alumnus at our school at Northwest State University of Louisiana, Forkham Demons. So without further ado, help me welcome today's guest, Erin Johnston.
Ooh, I'm so excited to be here. I totally forgot we both went to Northwestern until you just said it.
And then you went to the school that didn't give me a scholarship, which was LA Tech. So I don't really
know. Oh,
my sister went to LA Tech. So I'm like, you know what? Don't care. You know, forget LA Tech.
Where'd you go after Northwestern?
I didn't go anywhere. That's it. That was it. That was done deal.
You got your broadcasting stuff from Northwestern, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Bibbs and Broad in Northwestern State. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the best schools for it, though.
Yeah, it was. It was very good. Very a great program, guys. If you have not been familiar with Natchitoches, Louisiana, Northwest State University, Louisiana's communication program, one of the best in Louisiana. So make sure if you want to get your broadcast, you kind of want to see what I do, where I come from, definitely check out NSU, or we call it NUSLA the same way. So without further ado, hey, Erin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast once again. It's kind of crazy how, look, this is how weird it is, right? First off, Erin is a licensed professional counselor, correct? Make sure you got that right. What's the appropriate title for you? Is it how do we title you?
I like to be called a licensed therapist, okay. Because there's people out there that don't have the licensure, but you can still be a master's level, and you can even be other things like life coaches, spiritual leaders, Christian counselors. But licensed professional therapist is the one that's recognized by insurance companies, by the states, approved by programs and research and that kind of thing. So it's kind of the top of the top, right under what a doctorate would be. So I can do everything except for give medications.
Okay.
Diagnose, assess, evaluate every age. Whereas some of the others, they can't do all of those things. So it's really important to know the difference. I'm really big on that. And I can kind of touch on that later. Some people are like, I'm looking for a psychiatrist to talk to. And I'm like, well, they don't really do that, but therapists do. And So it's good to know. I like that question because it's good to know what I am and what I do.
Yeah. And that's very critical because Erin and I have talked about that because there are a lot of people right here on social media using their platforms to falsify information about therapists and therapy, which is actually making things worse to some people. So
y'all knew the amount of people that come into my office and they're like, so I saw on TikTok, since I sleep like this, am I autistic? And I'm like, what? Like, that's not even a part of the criteria. And they're like, oh, well, this girl had a million views and everybody was talking about it. I'm like, oh my gosh. So it's definitely causing a lot of misinformation, and people might not be doing certain things because people might go on there and say, this didn't work for me. And so that's not good either, because our bodies and minds are all different.
And it's very detrimental too. So it's just, you know, one thing we have to definitely avoid that as much as possible. Erin, like I said, she is top dog. She is licensed. So we have a true professional. This is not social media bait. This is the real deal. She's from my hometown. Like I said, she, and you know, it's crazy how we got this interview started, because you made a post about a podcast, and our friend Cody, Cody Bentley, shout out to him, referred me. And then sure enough, we actually have so many mutual friends. I'm like, wait a minute, I've been in Shreveport my whole life. And like, how is it that we've never kind of run into each other?
Yeah. And there was a lot of people that commented, but I didn't even connect with any of them. Cause I was like, I like this guy. Like, I like the podcast. I like where you're from, your background, all that. So, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Well, and I posted that because I wanted to talk on these things. I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to creating a podcast. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to steal your show, but I do like to educate about what I do for free, really, because so many people have the wrong idea about what counseling entails or how much it costs or what it is or what I see. And so as much education as I can give out there about what it is, it's not some old lady with a clipboard. Like, we're in there, we laugh. I was telling somebody earlier, I'm like, you can bring your breakfast in here. You can come in pajamas. You can kick your feet up, take your shoes off. Like, it's not as serious as people think. I have people that come for all sorts of things. I had a client a few years ago that's like, Erin, I don't know how to write a resume. All right, let's do it. Let's write it. We did it right there. You know, and so I don't always get these wild, like, people keep using the word crazy or these wild chronic things. I do get those. But sometimes I just get people that say, hey, like, I'm having a hard time adjusting to my divorce, or I'm having a hard time with my new job. Like, anything. That's kind of what I wanted to do today, was like talk about, if you were to have had a therapist during this journey on that you talked about in the Mermaid Effect, like, I wonder how it would have been different for you.
Yeah, and she talked about the Mermaid Effect, and we keep hitting at this. And so for those who didn't listen to the previous episode about our first episode of the season, what happened, long story short, met a girl, became friends, got a little closer to them being friends. I said some falsified things about myself to her, which actually made her basically fall for me. Told the truth, basically, long story short, she forgave me. Don't even know how to say it, just basically. So I moved out to Vegas, partially for work, but also to be closer to her as well. And just basically after her birthday, I gave her this extravagant birthday. Then 2 days later, she just acted like she didn't know me. And then I reacted in a way to where it was very immature, but I was hurt. No place to hurt. And so one of the things I did was very immature, was because we were together or whatever, as bonded for like 12 months. The next day that she hurt me, because she was so cold, I door dashed 12 bags of ice to her house.
You know, I laughed at that too. I was like, that's my boy. Like, yes.
See, this is why she's from Louisiana. We're going to have some fun, you know? But looking back at it now, and this is the disclaimer to this person that I did this to. I want to take this platform. Not only did I do this podcast out of hurt. I was hurt when you did all this stuff to me. So I want to take this time to apologize to you for the comments that I said, the podcast that I posted, and all the things before that that I said in response to how you treated me. Like Erin said, that things could have been different if a therapist was involved. And I think that, and if you are listening to this podcast, that, you know, you always have a home, a room in this house of mine, because underneath all the drama that between us, I see the pain that you're going through, and I have the same pain. So I think it's best that we both talk to therapists. And so with that being said, once again, I apologize to you, and I hope one day that maybe you can forgive me. So that's a public apology, because I made this public. With that being said, now is my time to talk to an actual therapist about this. And now, like, as I was hitting to before we got into this podcast, therapy is something that was very frowned upon in the Black community, especially in the Shreveport area. One, because I don't think a lot of people understand that, like, you know, case in point, Aaron, I'm pretty sure that you and I come from different backgrounds to where I grew up in Moortown, City Grove, and I'm pretty sure that in those areas, kind of rough over there. So I think one of the reasons why, my opinion, is that some people don't like therapy is because it's hard for the therapist to relate to, you know, sleeping on the floor every night because you don't want to get shot while you're sleeping, or, you know, having to use your last $20 to make a stretch for a week, or, you know, so it's kind of hard to relate to some of those things. So with that being said, my first question, the most pivotal question that I posted on Facebook today, what do you think that it is that people are scared to go to therapy?
So I don't know if I told you this, but I'm also a licensed addiction counselor. And a lot of counselors that go into addiction are in recovery. I'm not. The reason why I got that degree was because Northwestern was offering this like double major thing. So I got two bachelors in the time of one. So if you want to be therapists, go to Northwestern. But anyway, that's beside the point. Well, what a lot of my clients for 10 years asked me when they first met me, they say, are you in recovery? And I didn't want to lie to them. I thought about it, but I didn't want to lie to them. So I said no. And a lot of times they would not give me a chance after that. But I met one person that changed the whole perspective. She asked me, she said, are you in recovery? And I'm like, here we go. I'm like, no. And she looked at me and she said, good. And I said, really? I was like, I've actually never heard that before. She goes, because I want to learn from someone who went through stuff I did, but didn't result to drugs, alcohol, gambling, negative stuff. She was like, I want to learn from you. She was like, somehow you did those things and you've been through things, but you didn't end up like an addict has. And I'm like, damn, that's like, that was really encouraging for me. So when you say that about like, you're right, we did not come from the same side of the tracks, right? And I get that a lot. People say, how can you help me when you don't relate to me? And that's why it doesn't particularly matter about the situation, but what was the feeling? You know, when you're dodging bullets or sleeping on the floor or don't know if we're going to have enough food, like what was the emotion? What was the feeling?
That question, oh, that's a question for me.
Yeah.
It was, at that time, it was fear.
Yeah.
And it was confusion. Like, you know, hey, mama, why are we on the floor? Why are we sleeping? Why can't I sleep in my bed? You know what I mean? And so, yeah, it was definitely fear and confusion.
Mm-hmm. So that's the part I would relate to. Now, I would never say, oh, I've been scared before when a stranger knocked on my door. That's not going to relate to yours, but I can relate to the feeling. And I don't have to say, well, let me tell you what happened when I was a kid. I don't have to relate to you like that. And that's not a therapist's job. My job is to get you to tell me about it. Tell me, what do you want to learn from this? What do you want to grow from this? What do you want to change? What do you want to process? It's not really my job to completely understand. Because you're right, I've never, it's like I have some, you know, I'm not a mom, but I have some clients that are parents and they're like, well, you know, you'll understand when you're a parent. And I'm like, I hate that because I wish I was a parent now. So I wish I could have gone through all these things to relate, but that's just not in my plan. So we try to do our best with not just relating to a situation, but maybe the feeling or the emotion or what came next.
Before you came on, and like I said, I don't know why I didn't do this earlier, but I posted a question about, you know, what are some people's biggest, you know, worry about going to therapy. I had one that said there because the majority of it, the kind of, I know you saw the questions too, or the answers too. A lot of the ones were all about, well, two of them were the stigma, which is like, you know, scared of the truth, one of them. And also, well, first of all, let's talk about like just scared to hear the truth. Like, how do you address people who are really just scared to hear the truth within themselves?
I think people have this idea that therapy, like on first session, I'm like, let me tell you where you messed up. Let me tell you how bad that was. Let me tell you how stupid that was. Absolutely not. The first few sessions, we're just getting to know each other. Like, I want to get comfortable. I want to build rapport. One of the best quotes in therapy is, we don't really give answers. We try to guide you to the right answer. So in respect to that, the one about finding out, hearing the truth about yourself, probably already know. And I mean, you kind of said it a little bit in yours. You were like, oh, I shouldn't have done this. Or like, I probably should have done this differently or whatever. You already knew. Mm-hmm. You already knew the answer. But a therapist would have been like, yeah, Calvin, like, I think you're right. Like, I don't think you should send the ice. Like, you're just stooping down to her level. That's just immature like she is. She's just going to, like, call you out for it. You know, like, so it's not a lot of finger pointing. Like, it's really, really not. And people say, like, the stigma. And I'm like, who are y'all telling y'all are going to therapy to? Y'all put it on Facebook? Mm-hmm. Tag me. You know, like, and that's why, like, my office, if anybody is listening in Shreveport, my office is in a building where you would never know there was a counselor in there. That way, if somebody sees you park and go in, they don't know if you're getting a massage, getting your taxes done, getting a hearing aid. Like, there's so many offices in there, and we do that for that reason, because I want it to be private. And we also have, you know, telehealth options. But everybody's like, the stigma of going to therapy, I'm like, y'all don't gotta tell nobody if you don't want to. Like, I mean, you know, like,
and
when you go to the doctor for something embarrassing or, you know, a nasty rash or something, like,
or a shot. And I really think that what kind of scares people is that, like, you know, because even with this one right now, because I'm pretty sure, and God knows, that, like, people that know, in her camp basically are saying, like, oh, Calvin's crazy. He's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, you know, if you go to therapy, it's kind of seeing, like, okay, well, person X is crazy, or they're weak, or, and a lot of it is, you know, and I just talked to our friend, she was telling me about her experience, and she's a white female. So a lot of stuff that she was saying about her generational and her family saying that it makes you look weak. I'm like, wow, that's kind of, that sums up the Black community when it comes to therapy or going to therapy. So, you know, that broke my ignorance of thinking that it was just all about the Black and brown community. But, you know, it's just, I think it's generational, to where it's like, you know what, if you see therapy or you admit that you're weak, that it's a bad reflection, not only to yourself, but your family as well. I had some people also say that they had the same mindset, but they had to change it because they want to change those generational traumas to make sure their children can have a safe and open space to go to counselors just like yourself.
Mm-hmm. I do see it more in the Black and brown communities. In my 13 years, I've had all different cultures, races, ages, all the things. I've had one Black couple that didn't want to come back because I was white. Those stats are pretty good.
Right.
And I wasn't mad at them. I was like, right, that's fine. Like, I want you to find somebody you mesh with. And sometimes it might be, well, I want a man, Aaron, you're not a man. Or I want an older person, Aaron, you're not. Or I want a younger person. I want a Black person. That is okay. I'll help you find them, I promise. But most times, it's kind of cool to have different races and cultures, because I'm like, teach me. Like, what is that? And I've learned from the Black and brown culture and community, like, y'all are very more, sorry I said y'all, but you are Black, Calvin. Hate to tell you. But y'all are more religious than we are, and you're more family-oriented than we are. We don't do cookouts with each other. We don't do family events together. We don't have family reunions. Like, we don't like our family. Like, we talk a lot of mess about our family. We were very separated. Y'all are very much together, and just y'all help each other. And you're, I don't know. It's just
that's that. Well, I got to stop you. That's a big misconception, because coming on my end, that's a very big misconception. Very big misconception, because it's not true in a lot of places. And it's the complete opposite in some cases, to where it's like, You know, the person that's got the same blood as you could be the worst person in your life. You know what I mean? So it's not all right. Always, and that's kind of like, you know, and sorry to the family that may watch this. That's kind of one reason why I'm not as welcomed in my family, because of, you know, the things that I've done in my past and stuff like that. And so how they view me, you know, because I think that, and this is me being on my soapbox, especially as a Black man, it's hard, you know, and it's something that my 34 years of living is kind of to realize that it's not easy. You know, it's not me crying. And this is one of the things that, you know, this is one thing that a lot of people don't understand, is that, you know, as men, period, but Black men also, we don't have that. It's hard to find that place of comfort to actually say, hey, the world's beat me up. You know, I am a Black man. So it's kind of like hard to say, okay, well, I have to go to the world and get beat up, whether it's like profiling, racially, whatever, the work, not work placement. I have to get beat up there. But oftentimes it's hard to actually come back to your home, to where you want peace. and you don't have that peace. And I think a lot of people, not just you, but a lot of people don't get that, that there's a big misconception that it is peaceful. It's not. And sometimes that, in my belief, this is my personal, I'm not a doctor, but this is kind of how I look at it. But my belief is because that's one reason why some Black men do leave their families, because they don't have that peace. You know, it's kind of fine because we're fighting the world. And it's like, at this point, we're waving the white flag. So that's neither here or there. But I'm just saying, like, that is kind of a big misconception that, you know, we all can learn from. But like I said, it's not always peaceful in the families. Trust me. And like my family, not throwing shade in my family, but it's definitely not. And honestly, that's where a lot of trauma came from, and why I was kind of like, you know, addicted to the relationship I was in, because I finally had that peace to someone that could understand me, to where I can be comforted. You know what I mean? Was the relationship perfect? No, it wasn't. But it gave me that comfort that I was looking for that I wasn't getting in my family. If that makes sense.
That is so Calvin laughs at me, but I take notes. But that's the very first line I have here. You said, and I quote, you said, "I kept the relationship going because she needed that version of me."
Right.
And I wrote beside it, I said, "But at what cost to Calvin? What risk did you take?"
Right.
Like you said it at the beginning, you were like, "I was somebody, I had to pretend I was somebody I wasn't. I did all these, you know, I did things I probably wouldn't normally do. Like, for what? Like, was it worth it?" And I don't think it, at the whole end of that podcast, I'm like, it was not, I don't think it was very worth it for you.
Let me ask you this. So when it comes to, we're at a point now to where this happened in December of 2023. Here it is, like spring, fall, what is it, spring, summer coming right now. And I'm still kind of going through this, right? So before we go to break, what do you, we talked about this, our initial conversation was, how can we get people more excited about going to therapy or feeling comfortable going to therapy? So before we go to commercial break, just kind of answer that. Like, what are your ways of actually maybe getting people in the door? Because that's kind of the hardest part, like going to the gym, like just getting there. So what do you think the steps that we can take to actually get there to the door of going to see a therapist?
There's a two-parter to that answer. Number one, some people just don't know how much it costs. And they think it's one price and it's not, depending on if you have insurance. And there's a lot of, I could do a whole podcast on how insurance works. It's very complicated. But anyway, some people have this big myth that it's hundreds of dollars a session. No, I've commented on one of your, I have one girl, her copay is $5. $5. Yeah, just Blue Cross. I have another person that's like $6. Anyway, that's one thing. So I always say, hey, call around and ask them what their prices are for your insurance or what's your price for your self-pay. I see one client for free. We do pro bono stuff. I take Medicaid. I take insurance. I take EAPs. If your church wants to pay for 8 sessions, awesome. So that's the first thing I always tell people is if your barrier is financial, I'm kind of a smart ass. You might want to bleep that out. But sometimes when people say, oh, it's too expensive, I'm like, oh, how much is it? How much were you quoted? And they're like, oh, it's just a lot. And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, until you can give me a number, I can't help you. So that's the first part answered that question, is find out what we're talking about. Find out how much your budget is. I have one girl that's paying less than a coffee for a 53-minute session with a licensed therapist. Pretty cool. The second part of that is I don't know why people have it in their heads that this is like a done, written in blood deal. Go once. If you hate it, don't come back. Try somebody new. I was like that whenever I became an adult and I had to find an adult doctor. My pediatrician was like, Aaron, you're 23. You gotta go. I would go to the pediatrician and they're like, okay, where's your child? I'm like, it's me. I'm the child. I just don't want to leave. And they're like, Aaron, we can't even bill for you anymore. Like, you're over 18. So I called all these doctors and started going. And I tell you, I probably went to 3 or 4 that I did not like. And I went once and didn't like it. I went to somebody else. And then I found, like, my doctor who I've been with for 10 years, and I love her. So not all of us therapists are going to mesh with you. Just like anything else, your dentist, your lawyer, your doctor, wherever, your favorite burger place, like whatever, like, but you can look around. You can, and we offer 20 minute consultations for free. So if you want to have a consultation with all my therapists and see which one you mesh with best, come on, free. Like, that's how I get people in the door.
And I can honestly say that,
like answering these myths and like breaking
the stigma
and telling people it's not what, it's really not what you see on TV. It's not.
Did it surprise you when I made that post? Did it surprise you how many people actually like got involved, or something? Some of those answers that you saw on that Facebook post, did it actually kind of alert you at all, or kind of make you look at things different, or that's something that you're used to?
I'm used to it. I mean, I've been doing this 13 years, so. I mean, I hear all kinds of stuff. Finances is a huge one, is a big one. Sometimes I've gotten a lot of people that say they're feeling judged, which I really hate that, because I mean, I haven't watched every therapist do therapy, right? So I don't know what people are, you know, how they're acting in there. But we're all people. We have our own personalities. I'm the therapist that's like, kick back. We're laughing. We're doing fun stuff. We're doing exercises. I'm writing on the board. I'm very interactive. Whenever I do therapy, and some therapists are really quiet and just kind of listen. And some people are like, I want my therapist to teach me things, not just listen. So one of my questions when I do an assessment in the first session, I'm like, tell me what you want. Do you want homework? Do you want me to give you stuff to read? Do you want to journal? Do you want to listen to podcasts? And some people are like, Aaron, I'm not going to read any book you give me. I'm like, okay, cool. Then I'm not going to give you a book. Like, I'm not your teacher. I'm not your boss. Like, I'm not going to give you something you're not going to want to do. We'll figure something else out. Because it's kind of like kids have different learning styles, right? Well, people have different therapy styles when they're the client. I have some clients that come in, I don't even say a word. They're just talking the whole time, doing their thing. And then I have some clients that'll come in and say, hey, Aaron, today I want you to teach me about bipolar. I want to know what that means. Okay. I have some clients that come in and say, like, earlier I told you some girl was like, I need help writing a resume. Okay. Sometimes they tell me what they want, and sometimes I have ideas.
And she's been doing it 13 years, y'all. She's been doing it 13 years, and she's actually on our podcast today. So we have Aaron Johnson, licensed professional therapist from my hometown. We have a little bit more with her on the Straight Show podcast. Make sure you stay tuned. On the other side of the break.
I think straight up means to be able to speak in a way that is straight up, to be honest and to speak your truth.
Raw, uncut, you know what I mean? It's blunt, you know, straight to the point. This what it is.
It's just a place to be open and honest. And that's what I appreciate most about it. And it provides a place for community members to come together and just be straight up with each other about things that are going on in the world, because it affects all of us.
Unfiltered, raw, with all the cursing that Calvin does.
Straight up is just being real, telling it like it is, you know, being you.
Being solid, being who you are, no matter what it is, no matter what situation you're faced with, right? This is who you are. It really speaks to me saying it is what it is and it ain't what it is, straight up.
We are from CD. Trust me, like, I did. I ghosted, but she's the one that came back. So, like, to me, it's like, okay, look, I'm not trying to be around you. Like, you don't want to mess with me? Cool, whatever. But she kept coming back. So my thing is, it's like,
that sounds like a whole lot of her playing these games. Like, she doesn't want to 100% let you go because she knows what you can give her and what you're about, personality-wise and everything else. But she also doesn't want to stay with you because, like she said, you're not typically the guy she goes for. So it's like this back and forth thing where now, like, I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, you're allowing her to do all of this, the whole back and forth, because you need to find your self-worth on this, because you're worth more than that. Right. You shouldn't be, you know, like chasing a woman who you're running for, a woman who's barely taken a step for you. So
that's what I always say. Like, for real, like, you're worth a lot more than that.
All right, welcome back to the Straight Up Show podcast. I am your host, Calvin. Today, we have a special episode. Today, it is kind of like a bridge to a part two to our season opener called The Mermaid Effect, about my previous relationship, to where it sent me kind of on a downward spiral. Jeez. Let's say that twice. I'm sorry, y'all. But we have our special guest today. She's from my hometown. Erin Johnson, licensed professional therapist out of Louisiana, specifically Shreveport-Bossier, Louisiana. Erin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I love to talk about the stigmas of therapy, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, and why people don't want to try it or don't want to come. You know, the culture piece, the race piece, the financial piece. And so I'm excited. Let's dive into... let's deep dive. What do you say? Downward spiral.
Downward spiral.
Upward spiral.
Like, trust me, when I was on TV, like, there were things that I could not say the word specific or suspicious. Suspicious, specific. Those words I could not say at all. And it used to bug me. So that's just a little side note. We have Erin today, and it's kind of like, when it comes to relationships, I'm one of those people, because I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, you know, I do have trauma. It is one of my biggest red flags in the relationship. I have trauma that I almost died. Like, I mean, I was in a coma for two or a week and a half or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, you just don't get over things like that. I grew up rough, got a kind of bad relationship with somewhat okay relationship with my family. That does play a factor too. So it's a lot of stuff burden on me and life happens so fast to where you don't have time to go to a therapist, because it's like, you got to, like one of the people said in our comments, like, you got to pull up your bootstraps and keep moving, you know? And so, but without friends that kind of, if you heard the previous podcast, The Mermaid Effect, they all encouraged me to go see a therapist. And because this is what it's now at the recording of this podcast, this is April, and this happened in December of 2023. So it's been almost, what, 3 months, 4 months that this happened. And I'm still going through it, Erin, and it still kind of hurts a little bit. So I did give Erin homework. I said, Erin, like, I'm not going to actually kind of go on this whole tangent about what happened. I'm going to actually give you homework. She also, you know, obviously she listened to it and she has her notes. So without further ado, Erin, kind of just tell us, like, you heard the podcast, and what are some of your assessments that you heard, and how do you think that me going to see a therapist with my personal issues would have benefited me?
I think it would have been so cool. I kept every moment, every time I wrote something down, I was like, man, if he was coming to me weekly, like, I could have been like, hey, that's what this is. Or like, she's doing this behavior, or that this, people have techniques of their own. We all have used the word gaslighting, narcissism, codependency, baiting, stonewalling, like all those terms you've probably seen floating around the internet and TikTok. And some people get them right, but sometimes people definitely get them wrong. So it's really interesting. It would be really cool to see a therapist that's like, no, Calvin, like, if she meant well, it would have looked like this. Or what if she would have said it this way? So yeah, I did write some notes. So I'm a big, big person on, like, what's your responsibility. So I asked you earlier when you said, I kept it going because she needed that version of me. And then I would have asked you in therapy, why is that your responsibility? Why do you have to be a certain way for another person?
And the answer to that is because, once again, this goes back to, like you said, the whole family bond thing. It wasn't like that in my family. So it was more of like, I had to be the one to step up. You know, and like, when, you know, because my parents had a fallen out when I was a younger age, and I had to step up, or I wouldn't graduate to college. My sister got into some issues she needed help with. I'm like Uncle Daddy, so I had to step up. So I'm naturally a giver. I'm naturally a person that resolves issues, and so naturally a leader. So when she hit me with these issues about, and this is me putting her info out there about her not being a good person, a good mother, or whatever, it resonated. And it was like, hey, let me be there for you to, hey, because this person that I'm talking about, she has a stigma of just all she can get by is her beauty. She's gorgeous, very gorgeous. That's all she has going for her. And I'm like, you know what? Well, to what she thinks she has going for her. So that version of me is like, well, let me put something in your head to where you can be better than what just your looks. There's more to you than that. So that's kind of what I was saying. Like, I had to be there for her, because to be somebody, to reiterate, you're more than just your looks. There's more to you than that.
Right. I love that. And I think that's what a good person does and a good friend does. But if this was a relationship, like listening to the whole thing, like that just by itself sounds great. But if you keep, like, when you keep telling the story of, like, how it went and, like, the ups and downs and stuff, that's when I'm kind of like, there's some red flags there. So this is one thing I ask clients. One of my favorite, I told you this the other day, but one of my favorite quotes about counseling, it's not always about learning new things. It's about unlearning old things. Some people always say, well, I always do it this way, or I was always taught to do it that way, or my mama did this, or my daddy did that, or my grandma always taught me how to do this. Yeah, but were you taught correctly? Was it a good trait? Was it a good thing to learn? We all know that, like, meanness can be taught, racism can be taught, ugliness can be taught, in all different ways. And so sometimes we need to unlearn some of those traits or change them a little bit. You know, things that we did in 2008 might not be what we're doing in 2024. Like, we gotta adapt.
Right.
I usually ask people that it sounded like a very codependent relationship. So, Deb and Mariana kept telling you, you're trying to be a fixer, you're trying to save her, or whatever. Another good term for that is codependency. I don't know who the hell named it codependency, because people hear dependency and they think codependency means I'm dependent on another person. It's not what codependency means. I wish they would have named it something else. Codependency means I get value by helping you do something that you can do yourself. So it would be like, let's say I'm dating somebody and they don't have a job. And they're just kind of sitting around all day. I'll send some resumes in for you. I'll call that job and see if they'll do your interview today. I'll drop you off for that job. I'll do all these things for you. And then they're like, yay, thank you, Erin. You're awesome. And I'm like, yay. And I feel really good about it. But the dangerous part of codependency is when you're doing so much, too much, and they're not following through. They're not giving back. They're not appreciating you. They're not doing anything. So that's what I was thinking about this relationship. It sounded very codependent, and it sounded like you were being awesome and you were giving, but I don't think you were getting any value back.
And this is the underlying part. I think that, and this is, and then as you talked about Deb and Mariana, shout out to them. Like, first off, how do you think they, what's your assessment of them being on that podcast and giving me their advice?
I love them because it was a good, like, there was a lot of things that when they were talking, I was like, yes, that's what I would have said. I love the female, like, two cents. But it's like, I think it's important to have your friend's advice and your friend's guidance, and then your therapist's advice and your therapist's guidance. It's close, but they were definitely being like a Calvin supporter, like definitely friend. They were looking out for you, and I loved that. I think they had some really good points. I kept getting their voices mixed up, so I couldn't tell who was who, but I wrote this quote really big at the very, very end, and I literally want to like tattoo it on my forehead. I don't remember who said it, but it was one of them. And she said, lower your expectations for people, not your standards. What? That was amazing. I was driving when I heard that one. So I'm like, if you look at my notebook, it's like all scribbled because I was like, I cannot forget this. That is amazing. Lower your expectations for people, but not your standards. So quit expecting these people to change, or quit expecting these people to be great. Quit expecting these people to be you. But don't lower your standards either, and, you know, settle. This, I thought that was chef's kiss beautiful.
That was definitely Debbie. So okay. That was definitely Debbie. And it's crazy because they're both Brazilian, so it's kind of like, but their accents are completely different. That's definitely Debbie, because I remember that quote. Because I was like, "Damn, that hurt!" Like, you know. And
I loved it.
The thing about therapy is that it does hurt. It does hurt, and a lot of me going through what I'm going through with this particular moment. And like I said, guys, this is a disclaimer. I am not embarrassed. I mean, I'm embarrassed that it happened because Aaron. It's kind of because I know myself. I thought I did. But I know myself to be strong-minded and, you know, self-aware about a lot of stuff in my life. But in this particular moment, I think what I'm facing now is that I don't know how I got so vulnerable to let, which in a way, and this might sound messed up, but how she wasn't my type, I wasn't her type, but somehow we just clicked, you know what I mean? And like, and it was, so I'm like, I saw the red flags, but for some reason, I was standing there, you know what I mean? So I don't know, I'm questioning myself, like, I thought I knew myself, but what made this girl particularly, who doesn't have the same standards and morals that I expect out of people, get me to be so like this, you know what I mean? Like, so that's my biggest question when I'm fighting with right now.
I think the word to shorten, a very short word to answer that question is hope. You know, like maybe if I show her what a good man can be, a good relationship can be, like maybe she'll grow with me. And some people do. Like some people make other people better. They encourage people. They lift them up. It didn't happen in this case, but I think that was in the front part of your brain somewhere. Like, hey, this is going good. I actually wrote down when y'all said, generally you're not my type. I think she said that. But one thing I ask clients a lot is, well, couples. Like if I have a couple sitting in front of me and one person says something, I always say, hold on, pause. What was your goal for saying that statement right there? Just that one sentence, what was your goal? And that was my question for that. Generally, you're not my type. What was her goal to say that to you?
In retrospect, it's probably to keep me on a leash. Like to keep me at wit's bay, you know what I mean? Not to fall too heavy and... Like, trust me, like I said, I was very self-aware of what her actions were, but for some reason, I just ignored it. And I don't, and then maybe this is what this word in particular that people have given me advice on, and like, which I'm, it's to me, it's like saying it's the worst word you could tell me because it hurts, you know what I mean? But this is kind of like being self-aware, but this is the truth. This word that hurts me to my core is the word delusional. And it hurts because it's like, you're delusional to think that she cared about you. You're delusional to think that she actually had feelings for you. You're delusional to think that she'll come back around. You're delusional. And it's like, maybe I am, because my thing is like, I do have the hope, because I mean, I'm faith-based. I love Lord Jesus Christ. Like I have this in my throat and I shouldn't be walking. I shouldn't be talking, but here I am. I never forgot faith. And you know, we're from Louisiana, so we're big on superstition and intuition and stuff like that. So there's something in my spirit that's telling me, like, you know what? Even during when I was involved with her, don't give up on this person. If something just kept telling me, don't give up. Like, and that's what I said. I would not put up with this. Like, I wouldn't do it professionally. I wouldn't do it romantically. But for some reason, this one particular person made my morals and my beliefs go away because I had hope. I had faith that this person could. Because this, like, I love her to death, even right now, but she doesn't have that one person. Like, even when I was at Bird, right? High school, you know, I was prom king. I was Mr. This and that. I was this and that. I know, right? I know. Wait, where'd you go?
Northwood?
I mean, you can't talk. You know, y'all in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, that's the middle.
The minority. That's where I think I, like, gained a little bit of culture from, okay?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Northwood, you know, that's kind of crazy. Northwood, ugh. You know, right? Shout out to Coach Haney, because that's my football coach. Yeah, so that's my football coach. But no, like, you know, there was always, I never was shy at Bird, even though I was Mr. Popular, but there was this girl at Bird, I forgot her name, but like, she would read a book at lunch by herself all day. I'm like, why is she reading by herself? You know what I mean? Like, why can't somebody go talk to her and say, hey? And so that's kind of how I looked at her. It was like, you know what? You're reading a book at lunch by yourself, and no one's telling you, hey. You know, all these guys are only out for one thing, but there's more to you than that, you know? And like, let me come to you and say, hey, how you doing? Because I have a firm belief that if you tell somebody hello, can change their day, you know what I mean? And change their whole life. So that was my hope. And I guess that's where I was delusional to think that she's showing me all these signs of being like, you know, promiscuous, signs of being a manipulator and signs of being this, but the love I had for her overshadowed that. So that's why I say people call me delusional, because you can't turn into a housewife. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's where my delusion came from. Do you kind of agree with that assessment or no?
I don't. And let me tell you why. One thing, girl, the book, why do we have this thought in our head that she doesn't want to be talked to? You know, what if she really enjoys that quiet time? What if she gets overstimulated with all the noise in school and all the learning and all the talking and all the paper throwing and all the whatever, that she looks so forward to being outside reading her book at lunch? So, like, who are we to assume that she's lonely? Maybe that's the best part of her day. We'll never know until we ask her, obviously. Right. But, you know, think about that. You know, why are we pushing our assumptions on? Because when I was a kid, if me and mom were ever in the mall or out to eat and there was an older person eating by themselves, I'd always be like, oh, that poor old man's eating by himself. And my mom's like, he's probably enjoying every minute of that quietness. And I'm like, no way. Like, he's probably sad and lonely. And she's like, well, you have your opinion, I have mine.
Right.
The reason why I say no to the delusion is because it's a time. I want you to think of it as a timeline. When you tell the story, like when you tell the story on the podcast, we're hearing it from start to finish. And then we say delusional. If somebody would have been there at the very beginning and in the middle and the next section and like all the way through, they probably wouldn't have said anything negative at the beginning. Oh, Calvin, this sounds great. She's gorgeous. This is going to be good for you. Awesome. Good job, man. And then if you continue to tell somebody how it went, like a therapist, I think eventually somebody would have been like, I don't know about this. Like, this is kind of giving me red flags, Cal. Like, the beginning sounded really good, and it sounded like y'all really hitting it off, but now it's kind of getting a little shaky for me. But when you tell the whole story in one piece, people are going to be like, oh, no, you were delusional. You were crazy for that. Why'd you hang on so long? Oh, my God. I don't think that. So, because I'm thinking about the whole, and I mean, I don't really know anybody that doesn't have your story. Something close to it. Bad relationships, toxic relationships, connecting with somebody that might not be your type, or really liking somebody that you didn't think would work out. I mean, that happens. That happens a lot more than it doesn't. So I don't like the word delusional. So
it was scary. And like, to even like to admit that, you know, because the thing is, this is what I think in my self-assessment, which I think that a lot of people try to do instead of going to see a therapist, is self-assessment. You know, I'm the biggest one, because I'm like those people on Facebook. Like, you know, I paid, I think, $350 for a session, right? I know.
Where? I know.
In Texas. Other than the bougie part of Texas, I know.
I think that's low key, like, unprofessional to charge that much. I mean,
she was crying. She was crying in the session. Like, I told her my whole story and she was like crying. And like, I had to give her a tissue. And like, I remember, like, this office is off Coit Road in Plano, Texas. That therapist, no offense to her, but like, I was there. She gave me an extended hour too, because she just like was so involved in my story. And like, she was crying. And I was like, wow, well, that's $350 going down the drain, because I didn't get any solution. I didn't feel better about myself. Like, it was like, dang. Yeah. So that was one reason.
I want you to, have you ever heard the word overgeneralization? It means like you put everybody in one category, right? Like, all cops are whatever.
Right.
All blondes are stupid.
Right.
All whatever, right? I want you to put her in her home category and not in the therapist category. So, like, whatever her name was, like, wasn't for me. But I don't want you to make the sentence, therapy's not for me. She wasn't for you, that therapist, you know?
Right.
Because of everything you just said, like, you didn't really get anything out of it. It sounds like she wasn't very, like, I don't want to say stable, but, like, and I mean, we cry, we're human, but we're not supposed to take the focus off the client. I mean, you can shed a little tear and kind of, you know, get rid of it kind of thing, but nothing like that.
Oh no, she was pausing. She was pausing for like, just like pause and just like trying to hold it in. I was like, I said, I come with that raw, you know, like I'm raw as they come. So like, these aren't jokes. This is real life, you know? And like, so that story kind of, it made us cry, you know? And so what I was going to say was that part of me that feels like I'm self-delusional is because like, I keep holding on to the fact that this girl did care about me. Because if not, why does she keep me around so long? I refuse to believe that it was just her using me, because it's like, it wasn't just like that. It wasn't just, you know, the birthday thing was like the most thing that I've done. But like, other than that, it was very, when it came to me, what it probably wasn't as mutual, but it was more of like, you know, there was a balance between she and I when it came to emotional, if that makes sense.
I think there were times when she wasn't the best to you, but I don't think she didn't care about you. I definitely think she cared about you.
And this is,
I only know a piece of it, right? So the word manipulation came up a lot. Like, she's manipulating you. She's manipulating you. One thing I like to talk about in therapy is like, what's the difference between manipulating somebody and persuading somebody? Persuading someone is when you're trying to get them to do something that will help them. Like, come on, man, you need to come to the gym with me. Come on, man, you need to go meet this girl with me. Come on, you need to go try this restaurant with me. It's so good. Like, that's persuasion. Manipulation is like, hey, give me something, and it's not for good measure. Like, it's not for anything positive. It's to get something from you. It's to use you, that kind of thing. So I think we were kind of tossing up that word a lot. Like, whenever she said, she texted you one time, I was like, hey, I know we haven't talked, but I got a new number. For what?
Because she missed me. That's the delusion part, where people say, well, because she blocked me off everything, right? We got into a big fight. I told her that, hey, the version of me that she was wanting wasn't me. I ain't that guy. So that's when she blocked me. I gave her a space. 2 months later, she hit me up saying that, hey, I want to let you know I don't hate you, but I have a new number. You know what I mean? So out the blue. So to me, I took that as I miss you.
Who blocked?
She blocked me.
Another thing I came up with this because I hear it so much in whenever people are talking about relationships. It's called the silly statement.
Mm.
I need to write a book on it. I will one day. But anyway, it's when you put into perspective exactly what's happening. So like, I've had people that are like, I blocked him and he didn't try to email me. I'm like, okay. The person I don't want to talk to and I blocked, I'm upset that he didn't try an alternative form of communication to communicate me, which I don't want. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I tried. I was like, man.
And they're like, yeah, that's it. I'm like, you see how stupid that sounds?
Right.
That's why it's called the silly statement. I should call it the stupid statement.
Right.
But the girl that I don't want to date didn't text me, and I'm mad about it. The girl that I don't need to be with blocked me, but then she got a new number, and I'm going to say that means she misses me. Like, the math doesn't really math.
Right.
You know, like, why are you, like, why'd you block me in the first place?
Right.
I don't know. It was kind of like, have you ever seen those, like, videos or people, like, after they break up, they'll call them and be like, hey, what was that pizza we got that one time? I'm at this pizza place that we ate at that one time and really want to order that pizza that we ate together that one time. Oh, it was pepperoni? Okay, thanks, bye. Like, you don't need to call him for that.
Right.
That's baiting. Like, because the next question is, oh, what are you doing? Who are you there with? Just like whenever she said, do you have fun on your little date? That, no.
So that's the part to where, like, because me, I said that's her being jealous. But she didn't say that. She said, I must be stupid to think that she's jealous. You know.
Why is that stupid?
How can I put this? Like,
it's all about tone. Because what if she would have said, okay, hey, I'm sorry to bother you. Like, y'all have fun. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, no, it wasn't like that.
We know what that means. We are not right. dumb. We know what right. that means. I found you a little date. I know what she said. Like,
and I'm going to ask you this question, or to say this before we go to break. This is what our biggest issue was, like, while we fought a lot, is because I'm one of those people, like I said, I don't have, like, I'll say this. She has children, which I don't, I'm 34, you know, I got to get used to that. I'm a stepchild myself, you know. I don't discredit anybody that has children, but yeah. She has children. One thing that she told me was that I helped her tell her kids that she loved them more because she wasn't saying it a lot, but me being the influence, it helped her tell her kids she loves them more. You know what I mean? Like, say it out loud more. And so we kind of, that's what I kind of baited myself to, like, keep staying to be a positive role model in her life because I was influential. You know what I mean? And in return, like, you know, we were clashing, or we were, our chemistry was superb. And all I asked in return was, like, hey, can you just tell me that I matter to you? And she would do it. And her response was that my presence should tell you that I care about you. I don't need to say it. And that would anger me so much. And that's what, that would cause conflict in our relationship, because I should have known, in my opinion, that she's not the kind of person. But if you're in my life, I want to hear it. You know what I mean? So that's what we argued about a lot, because I just needed to hear that I matter. Even right now, I said, look, I'll give you closure. I'll leave you alone. But don't make me feel like that all this year and a half, 2 years didn't mean anything. You know what I mean? Just tell me I meant something to you.
I read a quote that said, you don't need closure like you think you do. The closure is how they treated you.
Right.
That's all you need to know. We may want closure, but do we really need it? We really, really need it.
To me, I feel like I do, because it's like, I made a big move. I just moved out. I missed the South. I don't want to be out here in the West Side. No offense to anybody in Cali or Vegas, but like, I miss the Southern hospitality. I miss just being around my people. You know what I mean? Like, not just my family, just like being around people who I can go to the local store and say, hey, and meet a friend the same exact day. Y'all on the West Coast, you can't do that around here. You can't just walk up to people and say, no, they'll look at you crazy, you know? But I just,
all that was very like, love everybody.
Oh, no. Very big misconception. My friend from Colombia, she came from Colombia and she wanted to see LA so bad. I'm like, all right, go. She went to LA, disappointed. Try to tell you. Like, but it was just, I made that big move because in my mind, I loved that girl so much. I said, because, you know, I was, like I said, codependent, right? I got off by just trying to actually say, hey, you know what? Let me help build you, because you're like, I've been through the hood. I've been through this. And like, I went to college twice. Like, I know how to like go from nothing to something, because I've done it multiple times. Like, so I said, I'm going to dedicate a year of trying to help you out. And like, cause I love you that much, you know? And this, that's why I need that closure, because like, I don't want to feel like that none of this was done for nothing. You know what I mean? Like, cause me is like,
look at what we're doing today, right?
Right.
Like, we're talking about this relationship. We're putting it out there for people. We're talking about what it would be like to talk about this with a therapist. Like, you might be helping. Have you ever read the Starfish poem?
I have not.
It's very short. Mm. So short that you can memorize it even after I tell you. So there's a boy on a beach, and he sees all these starfish like rolling up on the beach, and they can't get back out to the water. So he starts walking, and he's tossing them back in the water, one by one. There's a lot of them, lot. And this old man comes up, and he's like, son, like, you're not going to save them all. And he picks up another one, and he was like, well, I saved that one. And so, of course, his goal was to save everybody, but one is more, is just enough. So, like, I wonder how many people we might encourage to go to therapy because of this. I wonder how many people will take a second look at their toxic relationship because of this. I wonder how many people will get their own closure by a bad relationship because of this, because of your story. So it's not for nothing. It just might not be seen. Like, you'll be surprised how many people will, like, get something from this, and we'll never know. Neither of us will.
And I guess that's why I had to have her on the podcast today. She's definitely giving us some gems and, you know, breaking down why therapy is important and why I should have really gone to a therapist during this whole duration about dealing with this relationship. We're going to have more with licensed therapist, licensed professional therapist, Erin Johnston from my hometown, Shreveport, Louisiana. She's with Northwood Dental Care. But anyway, we have more with her on the other side of the break. Make sure you stay tuned to the Straight Up Show podcast.
Voting. It's a right, a privilege, and a responsibility. Many have made the ultimate sacrifice just so we could have the ability to vote on what we believe is best for us and our community. So, we here at Straight Up ask you to do your research, let your voice be heard, and be proud to say, I straight up voted.
Season of Riskier Conversations. With more groundbreaking and rewarding stories. And always rolling the dice of our truths. But this is a place where bluntness wins big. The Straight Up Show podcast is back with our 8th season. So take a chance and listen now.
All right, welcome back to the Straight Up Show podcast. I am your host, Calvin. Hey, today we're breaking down an episode that you have to go back and listen to actually understand this episode, because a lot of stuff may be out of context to some of y'all. So this is to encourage you to go back to listen to season 8, episode 1, The Mermaid Effect, to talk about my previous toxic relationship that I had that really has hurt my soul, because even right now, it's happened 4 months ago and it still hurts. With that being said, I had to have a licensed professional therapist on the show to actually talk about it, because I am one of those people who is against therapy, not against it, but kind of like, I don't really see the benefit of it, but yeah, I know, yeah. But, to talk about it. So today I have, Erin Johnston, out of Shreveport, Louisiana, licensed professional therapist. Thank you so much for coming out on the Shreve Show podcast today.
Thank you. I've got something I was going to show you, cause you know, we deal with relationships all the time. I see couples. Marriage, family, do all the things. Mm-hmm. Can I share?
Yeah.
You're in Vegas, so this is going to be a gambling exercise, that this is something I do in therapy. And so we're going to do it today just so everybody can kind of get a taste of what you might actually learn.
Okay.
So does everybody knows the basic game of roulette? If you don't know, that's the red and black game, right? That's when the ball spins around and lands on red or black. Now, I want us to just focus on red or black. I know that there's numbers on the board and there's green and there's other little things that you got to know, but just for fun, we're going to do red and black. All right. So you walk up to the table and there's usually a big board over the table and it'll tell you what the last like 30 spins has been. So it'll say like red, black, red, 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 black, 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 red, red, black, whatever. Let's say you walk up to the roulette table. And that board is broken. That board is not working. It's black. Ain't nothing there. But you're going to bet. What are you going to bet? You're going to bet red or black?
Well, black always. It's my favorite color. Sorry.
You racist.
It's my favorite color, you know?
All right. So what is the percentage of you winning?
50%.
Ah, you're smart. All right. Now
I went to the same college you went to. Of course I'm smart.
It's so funny when I get a real gambler, because they're like, well, it's technically like 48.5, whatever. Anyway, okay, so yes, you're right. It is 50-50. It's red or black. It's all it's going to be. Now, let's say we leave. You won, you lost. It doesn't matter. We leave. We come back. The board's working.
Right.
And it shows us the last 9 spins. And the last 9 spins are red, 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 red. Red, 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 red. Okay? It's been red the last 9 times. That's all we can see on the board.
Right.
What are you going to bet now?
Still go with black. 20% chance, right?
Okay. It's 50. You think it's 50-50?
20, no.
20?
Oh, that would be 80%, right? 80, no. Chance of going black.
Why?
Because, are we doing math right now? No, I'm just kidding. But like, because, it, going, because, going, because, because, because the majority has already been red. So, I mean, like, the chances of it being black in the next turns is about, to me, it would be an 80% chance.
All right. So you have the same idea that many people have. They think right. the number is going to be different because of what it's been. What it's been red.
Right.
A lot of people say, well, it's been red, so black is due. Like, it's due right. to be black, right?
Right.
It's got to be.
Right.
But the reality of that is it's still 50-50 because there is no concept with that marble. We are thinking about numbers and probability and all the things. There is none of that when you flip a coin or when you toss the ball. I know you're probably like, Aaron, why the hell are we talking about roulette right now? Because we look at patterns in almost everything we do.
Right.
And we typically look at it a lot in relationships. So, like, the last 8 people I've been with cheated on me. So I'm going to date this guy and I'm going to be him because he's probably going to cheat on me.
Right.
Because they all have. Right. And so, like, I teach that a lot. Like, this is what we call an independent event. So whenever I flip that quarter or toss that marble, the marble's not going, well, I've been red 9 times, so I guess I'm going to land on black. It ain't got no brain.
Right.
Like, it might be red 5 more times, but we're thinking that it has to be black because that's what it looks like it should be.
Right.
And so anyway, it kind of goes into like the expectations we think about people, or we think it's going to be different, or we think it's going to change, or we don't think it's going to change because of what it has been. And so these are the exercises that I'll do in therapy. And it just kind of gives people, like, I'm not saying you were wrong, you made mistakes, I'm just like, I want you to think about it. Like, I want you, and we're talking about roulette here. I just kind of wanted to, like, I do a lot of critical thinking in therapy, and they're like, oh my God, why did I say 80%? And I'm like, it's okay. Like, almost everybody, people give me like 10%. People give me crazy numbers. And I'm like, what's the difference in your numbers between the first time you went to the roulette table and the second time? The only difference is you knew what was in the past, which has nothing to do with the 10th spin. By the way, the 10th spin was red. You lost.
Well, that's why we're here right now, because I lost, you know. you see, look, I've only talked to Aaron Cohen, like, not even a couple of times. You see the chemistry we already have already, because that's just how it is in Louisiana. How we can talk about racial stuff and not be sensitive about it. And, you know, but that's just how it is, and especially in Shreveport.
I have this black couple, and one time we were talking about, like, culture and all this stuff, and I was saying something. I said something, like I said earlier, when I said the word y'all, because I am talking about black people to black people. So I said y'all, but then I realized how bad that sounds. And so he's the older guy. He's so funny. And I said, oh my God, I'm so sorry, Mr. So-and-so. And he goes, Aaron, we have been called way worse.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I was like, well, I apologize. I won't say that again. And he was like, it's fine. It was funny. So, but yeah, and that's how we are in the South. But that's how it really is in therapy too. I'm no different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just laid back, and I'm fun, and we do fun stuff and make you think, and that's how it is.
Oh, you definitely get my money. I would definitely come see you. This is why you'll have to tap in. And, like, it's cool because I'm learning right now from this podcast that, you know, going to therapy is about who you find. You know, the type of therapist that kind of clicks with you. And, like, I think I was talking to my friend, Mr. South of the Savoies over there in Louisiana. We all know Savoies. But he was saying that you just, his first therapist, he clicked with right away, you know? And that was kind of amazing to see, you know? So that's rare, you know, that. So to me, I'm still trying to find that one, you know, that kind of I click with. But my thing is, it's, especially with me being, like, I'm not really big on social media. Like, I hate it. Speaking of, do you, as a therapist, do you think that social media is a breeding ground for mental health?
What do you mean by breeding ground?
It's just so many people have, you can just see how people post and what they post. It's a sign of, like.
Yeah. Somebody put on your comments about, like, quit putting all your business on Facebook. Which, it's so funny. There's this group that I get a lot of clients from. It's called Girls Run the World. And it's just women in the Shreveport area. It's really cool. But some people will say something like, who do y'all take y'all's dog to for a veterinarian? I'm like, you realize everybody is just going to put their vet on there. They're just going to put who they see, and they're not going to tell you why. So it's like, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so. And I'm like, you're not giving any information. So people do that a lot. They're like, where do y'all go for therapy? I'm like, what are you looking for? Like, we all have niches. Like, we all have things that we're certified in. Like, I'm big with, like, addiction, trauma, couples. Like, that's my jam. So, like, if somebody called me and said, I'm looking for a grief counselor, I'd be like, miss me with that. That ain't me. Because I'm not good at it. A good counselor is going to tell you what they're not good at, and they're going to refer you to somebody who is good at it. We're not greedy like that. Or I'm not. I can't speak for others. But so I wish people would be a little bit less on social media with their personal business to avoid criticism, or people will screenshot that and send it to the world and they talk about you. There's this girl that posts all the time that her and her boyfriend are back together, breaking up, back together, back together, breaking up. And people would just rip her a new one in her comments every time. I thought you were done with him. What are you doing back with him? I thought it was the last time. All this stuff, and it's not positive. It's just, it's mean. But I wonder if she would have kept a little bit of that to herself if she wouldn't be getting all these, like, it's legit, like, hate comments.
Mm.
Or some people might get on there and say, I'm taking Wellbutrin. Who else took Wellbutrin? That right there kills me. Because people are going to comment and be like, I was on it. It was horrible. Don't take it.
Mm.
I learned last week, I met with some doctors last week, and they were like, we do full, they're called Johnson Behavioral, by the way. They're in Louisiana and Arkansas. They're all telehealth. They're amazing psych nurse practitioners. This is why I like them. They do full hormone panels and full blood panels. And I was like, why do y'all do that? I've never heard psych doctors do that. And they're like, because if you're taking medicine A, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, and your body doesn't produce enough iron, zinc, probiotic, whatever, that medicine won't work. So the people that are like, oh, I took Wellbutrin and it didn't work for me. Well, are all your levels correct? It's kind of like, you know, I put diesel gas in my car out there, but it didn't work, but it's gas. You put the wrong stuff in there. Or like, you know, put air in my tire, but did you check the pressure? Was it enough? Did you put too much, too little? So everything plays a role in, especially with medication. So when people say like, oh, I didn't like it, there are a bazillion factors of why it either didn't work for you. Somebody on your comment talked about the test, the genetic test. What that is, I was going to explain that to everybody here. It's called a PGX test, which stands for pharmacogenetic testing. It takes 30 seconds. They swab your mouth with a Q-tip, send it off, get your results back. Results are like 15 pages, and it basically tells you how your body metabolizes every medicine. So, for example, if me and you took Zoloft, we both took the same medicine. You're a man, I'm a woman, you're black, I'm white, we're different heights, we're different weights, we're different ages, we're all different. Our insides, our health is different, right? So I might metabolize Zoloft like that. So I might put it in my mouth at 8 a.m. and it's out of my system by noon. You might put it in your body at 8 a.m. and it lasts you all day. Great. So either I need to go up on my dose or I need a different medicine. So that test tells you that immediately. And you can take those results to every doctor, your OBGYN, your neurologist, your internist, your PCP, your primary, pediatrician, if you got kids, like, you can take it to anybody and be like, hey, before you give me anything, will you check out my DNA test? Because it'll tell you what medicines don't vibe with my body. So, like, that's something that I like to tell people. Like, if you're afraid of getting meds thrown at you, because it is trial and error. We have to throw meds at you to see what works and what doesn't. And we have to try different things all the time. But if you get that PGX test, it'll cut your time in half and you'll find your recipe. If you even need one, you might just need iron from CVS. You might just need zinc. You might need a multivitamin. You might need B12. Like,
but do you think you can get by from therapy without medication?
Absolutely. 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 I always tell people to start with therapy before doctors, Because in therapy, we can do assessments on you, we can do tests, we can talk to you, get to know you. Like, I had somebody the other day, and I'm like, I don't think you're any of these things. I just think you have a lot going on. It doesn't always end in a diagnosis. I've had people that are like, I just moved here, got out of a relationship, I have 3 kids, I just lost my job, da-da-da. I'm like, damn, you stress. Like, you have a lot going on. That's all that is. You're not bipolar. You're not this. You're not schizophrenic. You're not anything wild that you Googled. You just got a lot going on. You're not taking care of yourself. What's your diet like? What's your sleep like? What's your support system like? What's your family doing? Like, what are all these things? What are you involved in? Are you too involved? I have a teacher that's, like, involved in all these things. And I'm like, girl, you're doing too much. So it's not always about that.
Speaking of, let me ask you a question, right, before I let you go. You had a question. You said that I showed you a particular social media influencer whose platform is to talk to people and, like, you know, and give therapy sessions and stuff like that and benefiting from people. But there's no way to find a license, or they're when asked about showing their license, they get defensive about it. How do you view people who are online giving, like, these therapeutic sessions and, like, making posts about how people should live their life? How do you, as a very licensed professional therapist who went to a lot of schooling, how do you cope with that, or how do you debunk some of those claims?
I get a little insulted because of, you know, all the hard work that we do. But more so, I worry about the people that are trusting those people, because not everybody knows that she's not licensed. Not everybody knows what that even means. Not everybody knows
they're licensed. And
a life coach or a licensed therapist and a pastor. A lot of people go to their pastor for marital counseling or problems, and it's scary to me. I'm not against going to your pastor or your church. I'm a religious person. But if you don't know the proper techniques on how to work with certain disorders, interventions, techniques, you could really damage someone. You could really give them the wrong piece of advice that's going to send them backwards. I've seen that sometimes in the recovery environment too, because, you know, a lot of people use, like, sponsors or life coaches when they're walking through the recovery process, and most of them mean well, but some of them kind of borderline on the, I'm your therapist, like, hey, do this homework assignment, or I want you to write a letter to your abuser, or I want you to do this. And I'm like, oh no. Like, there's so many ways this could go bad. So it annoys me about the influencer doing it. It's not against the law, which I feel like it should be. Like, I can't call myself a doctor and you come over and I operate on your foot. You'd sue me. Somebody would sue me, right? But it's because we're just talking, right? I'm just a talker. I'm just a therapist. But it really angers me and worries me for the people that are listening to that person and taking it to truth.
It is scary to put our trust in therapists, because some of our lives, and trust me, like, a lot of people said, like, there's a lot, and trust me, like, Victoria knows the story, but on the podcast episode about the mermaid effect, I told them, the ladies, that you can't keep attacking her without knowing the full story. And I'm not telling the full story because it's a lot deeper and darker than what I told y'all. Victoria kind of got it out of me now, and now she kind of, like, we're actually fighting about that, because it kind of was like, you know, it wasn't well received. Which I told them in advance, that, hey, it won't be well received. So, but there's more, because our stories are so deep and personal. So if we were to trust you, therapist, and, like, is there a way that we can actually go publicly and see that you are a legit licensed therapist, or, you know, how could we do that?
So we don't have what's called a contract license yet. So what that means is, we can only practice in the state that we have a license. So I couldn't see your friend in Vegas right now, even if he wanted to, even if we did telehealth, I can't. Because Nevada laws in therapy are different. Even in Texas, the laws are different. So I can see anybody in the state of Louisiana because I have a Louisiana license. Now if I can get my license in Nevada, Maine, Florida, wherever I want, and I can see people there. So there's always a website of our board. Every state has a board. If you don't know what to look up, you can just literally type in your state licensed therapist board, You can do pharmacist board for your pharmacist. You can do physician's board for your doctor. And it should give you like their license number, their state. Maybe like, it's not going to give you a ton of information, but it'll just tell you if their license is like expired or active. So like if you go to LPC board right now and type in Johnston E, Johnston Aaron, whatever, it's going to pop up and say, my license is going to expire June of this year. I've got to get work on that. And it'll say active, and it'll say like LPCS, because I'm a supervisor too. So it'll tell you what their credentials are. And then I am also connected to my addiction board. So that's a different website. It's the LAADRA, which is the Addiction Disorder Regulatory Authority. So I have two licenses. So if someone has, or if someone is like a social worker, you would go to like social worker board Louisiana. I'm not a social worker, so, but you could type that in, whatever they are. If it says LMFT behind their name, you can type in LMFT board Louisiana. It's going to come up. And if you're ever like worried about your therapist, call another therapist and be like, hey, can you double check if this person's legit? If somebody called me, I would know exactly what to do and I would help them. I don't know a lot of therapists that wouldn't. Also, if somebody calls me and they're like, hey, I'm looking for a group therapist, like instead of being like, sorry, I don't do that, I'm like, hey, I don't do that, but I have three names for you. Like we really want everybody to find what they're looking for, so we help.
That kind of gives me like comfort, because it's scary, you know, what your life is, what you go through is scary, you know, especially when it comes to like your beliefs and what you want done. That's about enough time right now we have with licensed professional therapist Aaron Johnston. This is going to be a two-part series because we kind of have to conclude this. Like, you know, what advice can she give me about moving forward? With that being said, we encourage you before we leave to go back and listen to the beginning of the season to figure out what happened to the story and why it's very crucial why I need currently a therapist for what happened. So Aaron, you will come back with us, right?
Yeah.
All right. And before we go, how can people reach out to you and like, if they want to connect with you and actually follow you and see that?
Okay. So I don't have any social medias for my business, but my business is Healing Minds. We're in Shreveport. We've got three therapists on staff. We do also have a life coach on staff, and that life coach is also a trauma-informed yoga therapist. So she's the one that'll get all that trauma and stress out of your body, and then we're the ones that help you process anything else mentally. Our website is healingmindsla.com. My phone number is 318-220-1433. You can call or text that number. I did that because I have a lot of younger people that struggle with anxiety, and they would rather text me than call and make an appointment. Like, they've literally told me that. They're like, it was so nice to be able to text you. I didn't stumble on my words. I didn't mess up. I could text you what I needed. And I was like, follow me. So 220-1433 is my number, and
and there you have it. And if you're watching this episode, you'll see all her information on the ticker below. If you're listening, we'll have her information on the show's description. Aaron, before I let you go, before we go to the part two of this, in conclusion of this part, what would you say? Do you find any kind of closure? Not closure, but being hopeful and delusional. Do you think that this issue with she and I, can it ever be resolved mutually?
So you asked, let me go to my notes, Calvin. All right. You asked that at the end of the Mermaid Effect podcast. You said, is it possible to say sorry? My question back to you is, hearing how her personality was, I just want to know, is she mature enough? Is she capable? There's something I also teach in therapy about knowing if somebody's capable of something and willing. You know, with kids a lot, they're like, they're not remembering their chores. And I'm like, are they capable? I mean, think about it. Like, we got all the stuff going on. They're playing video games. They're running around the house. Like, they might not be capable. Like, maybe they need a list. Maybe they need, like, a written down, like, maybe they need something. So it doesn't, like, from what I know about her just in your podcast, it just doesn't sound like she's very capable of apologizing and closure because of some of the things she said, like, I'm going to have to hop on Tinder to forget about you. That was just mean. Have fun on your little date. Like, it's just, she's just ugly. Like, you know, it was just not very kind. And so I don't know. I don't, because I just don't know her fully to answer that. I think it could be possible. But again, I want you to think about, like, why do you really need that from her? Why do you really need that from her?
Y'all, this was just part one with Aaron. This was just part one with Aaron, licensed professional therapist Aaron. Thank you once again so much for coming on the podcast, y'all. Stick around for part two. We will have it going on. This is going to be something that Healing Minds, what since Aaron's been doing for the past 13 years. So that's the end of our show. Aaron, once again, thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Of course. Thank y'all for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, so we're going to have part two of Aaron coming up. But until then, the episode is just not over just yet. We have more of our podcast. We'd love to embrace about mental health. Y'all, tap into Aaron. She's doing great. If you see her personality shining through, I can joke with her. We just met, and we're already kind of clicking already. With that being said, go to our website at strayupshowpodcast.com. That's STR8upshowpodcast.com. If you want to support our podcast, go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/strayupshowpodcast. That's patreon.com/strayupshowpodcast. There you can support us with four different tiers. I don't know. It's been a while. But you can go there to support us. But until then, until we have part two at the end of our show, there's only one rule to our show. You got to be
straight up.
All right. See y'all soon.